Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the R Systems Q2 FY2024 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kumar. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ray. I welcome all participants to R Systems Q2 2024 earnings conference call. We have today with us Ritesh Bansal, Managing Director and CEO, R Systems, and Vaaman Sardana, CFO, R Systems. We have shared the presentation with the investor late evening yesterday, as well as uploaded on companies as well as stock exchange website. I hope all of you have received that. We will start the call with opening remarks on the performance of the company by Ritesh, followed by the financial overview by Vaaman. Thereafter, we'll have a closing statement by Ritesh. Subsequently, we'll open up for a Q&A session. Before I hand over, let me read out the customary disclaimer statement on behalf of the company. Investors are cautioned that this presentation contains certain forward-looking statements that involve risks and uncertainties. Company undertakes no obligation publicly to update or revise any such statement. These statements may undertake revision because of new information, future event, or otherwise. Actual results, performance, achievement could differ from those expressed or implied in such forward-looking statements. Now, I am handing over to Ritesh for his opening comment. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Kumar, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining the call for the second quarter 2024. I'll start with key highlights for the second quarter. We ended the quarter at 4,320 million or 432 crore rupees of revenue in US dollars, translates to $51.8 million, which translates to a year-on-year growth of about 6.2% and with a year-over-year adjusted EBITDA growth of about 19%, with our net profit being 249 million rupees or $3 million. From an EBITDA perspective, an adjusted EBITDA perspective, we've gone from 14.4% to 16.5% as EBITDA percentage. And we're calling it adjusted EBITDA because it is adjusted for the payment expense of rupees 65 million in Q1 and 80 million in Q2 relating to RSU granted to employees. After considering those expenses, the respective EBITDA percentages would be 12.8% in Q1 and 14.7% in Q2. So we look at the adjusted EBITDA bridge. We started off the quarter or the opening at about 600 million rupees or 68 crore rupees. We got benefit of improved utilization to the tune of about 10%. We got another benefit of higher billable days to the tune of about 7%. We have given pay hikes during the quarter to our employees. This is the annual salary increment that we usually roll out, and we have absorbed that impact. And there were normal operating benefits that we got of about another about 3%-4%, resulting in the final EBITDA of about 714 million rupees or 71 crore rupees, which is 16.5%. Looking at the key highlights on an H1 basis or at the end of half year 2024, our revenue stand at 8,487 million rupees or $102 million. That's a year-over-year revenue growth of 4.7% and a year-over-year EBITDA growth of 14.9% with net profits of 524 million rupees or $6.3 million. So comparatively, H1 2023 was 14.1% EBITDA. H1 2024, we're reporting 15.5% EBITDA. Again, similarly adjusted for the RSU expenses, as I mentioned in my previous note. From balance sheet items perspective, equity attributable to shareholders is 6,032 million rupees, cash and bank balances of 1,791 million, AR and unbilled of 3,284 million, and our days of sales outstanding stands at 60 days. If I look at the financial trends across 8 quarters, we've gone from 398 crore rupees to 432 crore rupees in the top line over the 8 quarters, and EBITDA going from 14.5% to 16.5% of revenues. So our revenues have crossed 430 crore rupees quarterly run rate. Our adjusted EBITDA has crossed the 70 crore rupees run rate. And our quality of revenue continues to improve as our approaches related to verticalization and winning deals in areas such as cloud, data, AI, etc. are beginning to bear fruits, and we are seeing green shoots of wins in these areas. Looking at operating metrics, there isn't any significant change for those of you who've been attending our earnings calls. I think numbers look very similar and consistent. Our North American markets have contributed approximately 75% of the revenues. Southeast Asian countries give us 12.5% to 13%. Europe has been contributing in the vicinity of 9%, has fallen slightly to 8.3%. And rest of the world has been giving 3.7%. Our client concentration also remains largely the same. Our top 10 clients are giving us close to 22% of revenues, with our top client giving 5.2% in this quarter, which is slightly lower than last quarter, but that's mostly a quarterly fluctuation kind of a thing with a minor dip. But overall, our top 10 clients continue to remain robust and stable, and we continue to get, as we are expanding on revenues, we are expanding quite evenly across the top clients as well. So overall percentage remains largely constant. Our utilization has consistently gone up. There's been a lot of operational rigor and focus on improving utilizations, that number has gone up significantly, consistently quarter on quarter. We've moved from approximately 76% utilization as of about 3 quarters ago to approximately 81% or 82% utilization, offshore utilization across the company as of the current quarter. Days of sales outstanding has largely been in the range as we have operated between 60 to 64 days. This quarter we have ended at 60 days, you know, that way our collection cycles are running fairly robustly. If I look at some of the things that we are doing as an organization for building for the future, continuing to work on the strategic items that we have talked about in some of the previous calls as well, we have further strengthened our go-to-market and started executing on the strategy of partner-led and channel-led kind of pipeline development. As a result, we participated, partnered with Boomi and participated in their Boomi World 2024, which was organized in May this year. We shared the stage with their leadership and obviously had a great conference with a lot of traction generated during the conference. We also have deepened our partnership with Microsoft and have become a key partner for Fabric, which is basically enabling a lot of clients to migrate from traditional data and BI solutions to more of the Microsoft OneLake, Power BI, and comprehensive data engineering and data science solutions. From an offering and positioning perspective, we launched an AI-enabled partner onboarding solution at Boomi World 2024, and it is available on our website, and we are also seeing follow-on activity through that launch. We have also recently launched an AI-enabled end-to-end Power BI or end-to-end Power BI solutions, including accelerators for migrating from other BI platforms to Power BI. So those have been some of the specific launches this quarter, and we'll continue to, you know, work on some of these as well as other new solutions. From an integration perspective, the integration of Velocio and Scaleworks capabilities and overall our systems has actually led to creating stronger practices within our tech, internet, and platforms vertical, as well as for data and AI and cloud and DevOps. These were some of the competencies that Velocio also brought to the table, and as we combined the capabilities, putting a single global leadership across these practices, it has resulted in deeper rights to win and the better offerings to the market. Highlighting some of the key wins for this quarter, even in the press release, we've talked about eight. I'm highlighting four or five of them over here. One of the leading real estate and investment advisors has engaged us to build an innovative property analysis application, and especially also enabling IoT through handheld devices so that there can be a cutting-edge bug reporting tool, which will enhance the efficiency and functionality of how they provide services to their end customers, which are usually buildings and tenants and real estate companies. A UK-based digital communication firm has partnered with us to streamline their CRM integrations so that they can develop a robust communication framework and drive operational efficiency and innovation. We've also partnered with one of the largest global financial services groups who have asked us to create digital transformation of their legacy system to cloud-native Java and React applications. And these are some of their important customer-facing applications that we're working on. A US-based large global investment firm has engaged us to automate its cash management processes with a unified database-driven solution that can replace a lot of Excel-based processes that are currently followed. And also a large leading retail chain in Southeast Asia has engaged us to upgrade their Microsoft Dynamics Business Central to optimize and digitize their end-to-end business processes, leading to financial visibility and operational excellence across the enterprise. So as you can see, these are wins in a variety of functional areas, right from core product engineering to data and automation, as well as Microsoft Dynamics Business Central business application failures. And they're spread across all the continents, coming from US, Europe, and Asia-Pacific, like in a similar manner. At this point, I'd like to hand it over to Nan for a financial highlight, a detailed deep dive into the financials that he best provides. So over to you.
Thank you, Niteshji. Good morning to all. Since our system follows calendar year company, so this is our second quarter, so we call it quarter two. Revenue for the quarter was rupees 432 crores or $51.8 million, as against rupees 416.6 crores or USD 50.2 million dollar last quarter, and rupees 406.8 crore, that is USD 49.5 million in the same quarter last year. This is growth of 6.2% year-on-year and 3.7% quarter-on-quarter. The growth is driven by higher traction to digital product engineering services coupled with higher billable days. The gross margin was 35.5% compared to 33.7% last quarter and 34.8% same quarter last year. Gross margin is resultant of improved utilization, higher billable days, as offset by increase in average salary at our offshore centers. SG&A expenses increased by rupees 1.5 crores. This is mainly due to higher investment in sales and marketing and H-1 visa filings. The adjusted EBITDA was 16.5% compared to 14.4% last quarter and 14.7% the same quarter last year. The company has been able to expand sustainable operating margins through operational efficiencies. The RSU cost under management incentive plan is rupees 8 crores this quarter compared to 6.5 crores last quarter. EBITDA net of RSU expense is 14.7%. During first half 2024, revenue was rupees 848.7 crore or $102 million as against rupees 811 crore or $98.7 million same period last year. Adjusted EBITDA was 15.5% as against 14.1% same period last year. We are committed for profitable growth and continued our investment in sales engine, new technologies, and innovation to deliver long-term sustainable growth. Getting down to depreciation and amortization, the total expense was rupees 16.7 crores compared to rupees 16.6 crore last quarter. This includes rupees 6.3 crore for intangible capitalized on account of Velocio and Scaleware acquisitions. Interest expenses rupees 2 crore compared to 2.8 crore last quarter. Other income were rupees 2.1 crore compared to 2.3 crore last quarter. This quarter, we had an exchange gain of rupees 1.1 crore compared to rupees 99 lakh last quarter. Further, the other income comprised of interest income of rupees 68 lakh this quarter compared to 83 lakhs last quarter. This is primarily due to reduction of corpus post-dividend payment. During the quarter, the average rate for USD and Euro was 83.42 and 89.79 respectively, as against last year average rate of USD 83.04 and Euro 90.15. These are the two main currencies for our system. As at the year end, we have a forward cover of $37.46 million with average rate of 84.5 and Euro cover of $2.3 million with average rate of 93.7. This has already been marked to market at closing rate of 30th June. Our tax expense was Rs. 21.9 crore this quarter as against 8.9 crore last quarter. Increased tax expenses mainly due to tax provision of Rs. 6.2 crore against dividend received from subsidiary company. The company would be eligible to offset this upon dividend declaration. Our effective tax rate is close to 27-28%. Net profit after tax was Rs. 24.9 crore or $3 million compared to Rs. 27.5 crore or $3.3 million last quarter. Basic EPS for the quarter was Rs. 2.1 compared to Rs. 2.3 last quarter. With that, I hand over to Nideshji for his summing up comments. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Nandi. Summing up the trends that we are seeing shaping up in that are shaping up in H1 that will shape our H2. Broadly speaking, artificial intelligence continues to be top of the town, but truly leveraging artificial intelligence to generate value, it requires both expertise in technology as well as understanding of the domain. So, a lot of taken place, but the transition of value will require professional services players like us, and we are seeing that the discussions are moving from experimentation to understanding where the real value lies, where can we help our customers implement those things. So that's where it will probably grow the need of professional service providers like us. We still see that process efficiency, automation, cost savings, etc. are remaining dominant themes in the market. So digital transformations are offerings for such as leveraging cloud, data, AI, and automation are very relevant. We are seeing traction in that space. After the July incident of CrowdStrike, which saw a massive outage across the world and shutdown of operations, a debate or a discussion on cloud security, reliability, etc., has obviously started off in the tech circles. And we are also participating, or we are also being asked for similar discussions. And where we see that it could lead to opportunities in the areas of disaster recovery or cloud reliability or doing a more vulnerability assessments for our customers. So overall, you know, we are optimistic of the market sentiment improving in the second half of the calendar year. We are seeing early signs of deal activity in the market. We are seeing traction, which is actually across sectors and geographies. Very clearly, we'll watch out for the elections in the US and the kind of developing situation in the Middle East, because those could cause some uncertainty. But, you know, overall, so far, we are optimistic. We are consciously increasing our collaboration with partner ecosystems across AWS, Microsoft, Salesforce, Boomi, UiPath, as well as increasing our ecosystem with these startup partners who contribute to, you know, us being able to offer some cutting edge solutions to the to our customers and also provide a good a playground and a learning path for our own employees working with the startups and vice versa. So I think that is it from my end for this earnings call. And I'm open to questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nikhil from Kizuna Capital. Please go ahead.
So thank you for giving me this opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. So my first question is, what is the peak margins that we are looking at? Because we are at a peak utilization, historical highs. So what are going to be the other levels for the margins?
Was there a second question? Yeah, no, that's perfectly fine. I think since you said first question, I was waiting for the second one.
Yes, sir. And sir, as we can see, our client concentration among largest, top 3, top 5, and top 10 is reduced. So have we added more customer base? So that is my second question, sir. And our plan was to also gain the wallet share. So how is that going accordingly?
Right. So, Nikhil, first and foremost, thank you so much for participating and the questions. From a peak utilization, yes, of course, this is one of our historic highs in utilization. And I think we are at almost at desirable level. So our objective will be to maintain this kind of utilization level while consciously and certainly making investments in areas where we need to further deepen our capability or right to win, etc. So that's you know, something that we'll continue to work on. From a margin perspective, we do have some more levers where, you know, whether it is some amount of pyramid rationalization or some amount of better efficiencies, which haven't come in yet, and it will take time to come in, but we do expect that as we are increasing our usage of AI and Copilot and bringing more tools into the development process, we will gain some efficiencies. But we're not baking them in into any kind of margin improvement projections, because we are also for the growth phase, we are also continuing to invest in our sales and marketing efforts, in our partnerships, in being out there with our partners for events and other things. So we hope to sustain margin levels at, you know, reasonably that high 15s or early 16s kind of levels. But we will be more focused on growth investments than really trying to, you know, use the levers to increase the margins at this point. Second, on client concentration, well, you know, there is some fluctuation in the overall contribution from top one or top two, top three clients, and that is partly seasonal on the client side, as well as, you know, as our overall revenue has expanded, you know, those clients have not. So it's a reflection of that. But from a wallet share perspective, we are working towards expanding wallet share with some of our top clients. Actually, we're working with our top 50. We have seen success in expanding wallet share with some clients, which may not be exactly in the top five right now. But, you know, there is positive movement in that direction. And hopefully, you know, give it another couple of quarters, because as we win more deals and we are able to staff up for it and those deals start generating revenues, we might see that starting to reflect in our top 10 client contributions in the future quarters.
Okay, sir.
I think, was there any other question? I think I answered all the three, right? Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, sir, my second, my question again is on the discretionary spend. How are you seeing the revival of that spend? There's a coming election in the U.S. in December. And is there any kind of impact on that? And suppose that, like, this year is going to be okay, but next year, are we looking at 20% plus growth rate post that when the discretionary demand revives?
So, Nikhil, discretionary spend even now has been a bit cautious. And if you look at, you know, in US, most of the companies follow a January to December year. So their budget year is almost coming to a close. You know, we are in August. So, and in November, they'll be doing their next year budgeting cycle. So looking at massive or significant increase in discretionary spend this year is a little unrealistic. What we are seeing is where there were project decisions that were pending, that were put on hold, or people were unsure and were undecided. Some of those have opened up, and those are things that we are capturing. There is obviously, like I said, increased activity. So looking at the activity, the only thing we can anticipate is that people are preparing for the budgets for next year, and they will probably be ready to go if, let's say, the budgets open up, and then they will obviously be wanting to make those projects happen, right? So that are best leading indicators. I do not know during this year, election will be in November, and during that time, people are already at the fag end of the budget. So the election itself will not have a bigger positive or negative impact on last quarter spending. The outcome of the election and what that sets up as the mood or sentiment for the financial outlook for the companies or industries in general may finally affect what kind of budgets they allocate and which direction they go, and that's something for us to watch. But I guess, you know, if in general the spending opens up.
Hello.
I think he got dropped. Operator, can you please connect him again?
Yes. One moment. I'll just reconnect Mr. Bansal.
No, I'm there. Hey, can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
We can.
Yes, I'm there. Sorry. Was there any other question from Nikhil?
Operator.
Sure. I'll...
I think you answered the question on discretionary spend. Let's move to the next question.
Yes. We have the next question from the line of Sandeep Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. Congrats on a strong execution, both on revenue as well as on the margin. Nitesh, the first question is, your commentary indicates that the second half would be better even for the industry as well as for the arts system, looking at the deal activity momentum. So is it fair to assume the growth momentum which we have witnessed in the 2Q CY24 has a fair chances to continue, and that will help us to exit 4Q this year at a better rate, which will set a platform for industry-leading growth aspiration which we have for CY25?
Sandeep, first of all, thanks for joining again. Good talking to you. Look, you know, we are all optimistic, and because that's the only way we know how to be and to drive, right? And we've been waiting for the industry to open up and to get some clear signals of growth. Are we seeing some of those green shoots, some of those things happening in the market? Yes, we're definitely seeing it. Do we want that should continue? Absolutely, we want it to continue. We hope it will continue. And if it does, then yes, I mean, we should be looking at least some momentum building up. There are a lot of unknowns. We don't know. And every time I open, you know, I look at the news, it scares me of what's happening in the world. But having said that, you know, I'm hopeful, keeping my finger crossed. There is activity beginning to build up. We hope we'll capitalize on it. And if we do get that momentum over the next two or three quarters, then absolutely, you know, we will exit strong, and it will give us a good foundation to build towards industry-leading growth for the next year.
Okay, this is helpful. And second, Nitesh, in terms of observing and analyzing your execution strategy, what are the key performance parameters you are internally tracking, maybe in terms of pipeline conversion, if you can share some progress on the same?
I can tell you what I'm tracking, at a high level. Obviously, we look at our strength of the pipeline and, more importantly, average size of the deal, because that's something that we want to strategically move towards, having a little more, sizable deals, more meaningful deals. We obviously look at our conversion rates. So what is our win rate for every, 10 opportunities we chase? How are we winning and converting max number of those? And then we are obviously very worried about, because this is something that has happened in the last three, four quarters, that post-winning or post-communication that we've been selected, the time it takes to start, because a lot of times the customer, after that, they start kind of delaying their lack of funding, budgets, approvals, or whatever else goes into the cycle, which has been a big challenge for us for planning. And because every time we win a deal, you have to be ready to kind of stop for it, start for it. And when it doesn't start in the given time, you obviously not only lose revenues, but you've got people sitting on bench waiting. So those are some of the things that we track very closely from a pipeline conversion velocity perspective. And then obviously from an execution side, we have been focused on right size, right staffing, making sure that we have higher utilization and better throughput. So those are some of the most common things we are tracking. We have built our processes around it. We have improved on how we used to track and what we used to do. Are we where we want to be? Perhaps not. It's a journey, and I think we have just kind of begun in the last two quarters, so we still have a way to go.
Okay, fair enough. And just few things, in terms of new logo addition, that has also driven the growth in this quarter. So can you give us a progress in terms of both direct channel as well as Blackstone channel? Because last time we said 10 new accounts have been opened in the Blackstone channel. Any progress or here to share?
So, Sandeep, like I said last time, Blackstone channel always, does remain an equally vibrant and important channel for us. But it is not the only channel. So, overall, the company has added a significant number of logos. We've added more than two dozen logos across the company, and I think we've also added, if I'm not wrong, two new logos from a Blackstone portfolio perspective. Yes.
Okay. 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 I have follow-up, will come in the follow-up. Thanks.
Sure, Sandeep. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Harsh Chaurasia from Vallum Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for giving this opportunity, sir. So I have two questions. On the top line, when I see, so there has been decline on Q-on-Q basis, from last three quarters, both for large client and the top three client. And, when we see our top client, this is majorly focused to the telecom and high-tech, verticals. And when, listening to the commentary from the larger peers on this vertical, it's not been very much, positive. So, and at the same time, we are talking about account mining and wallet expansion. So are we looking at this particular line of client, or if we are looking, so what are the kind of work which we are looking? Basically, is there any white space we are going to fill? And or if not this tech part, then are we looking to do a wallet expansion in the tail clients? And from this, my second question is on when I see the revenue breakup on the IT services and the BPO side. So IT services, we have added roughly 10 crore incremental on a Q-on-Q basis. And at the same time, our EBIT level is approximately 5 crore. So incrementally, it is a very margin-accretive deal which we have done. So what kind of, what quality of work which we have done, or what kind of deal has led to this? And are we looking to do similar type of deal in coming quarters? And when I see the BPO deal, we have added roughly 4 crores and that has directly flown down to the EBIT level. So like, is it one time or like what is this? So like, can you elaborate more on this? So that's it.
So Harsh, let me answer the first part first. I think you're absolutely right that some of our top clients, and especially the top 2 or 3 clients, do represent the telecom and high-tech sectors. And in telecom and high-tech, the general commentary and the sentiment has been weak for the last several quarters. We are still not seeing a significant revival in those areas. But having said that, because these clients, so that has obviously, you know, affected the growth of the top clients in the same rate as we are, let's say, same rate or higher than what we are growing as a company, which is what we would desire. But at least the clients have stayed flattish, right? And that's why it reflects a little bit of downward as a percentage of total revenue kind of a thing. But having said that, when we are talking about account mining and expanding wallet share, we are not just focused on top 2 or top 5 or top 10. We have taken a cross-section of 40 accounts across our top 60, right? You know, leaving aside a few where we did not think there was a huge potential. So we are going after some of our, you know, top 40 accounts, which are across sectors. And we are seeing successes across a few. Specifically, and actually a couple of them are already in top 10 also, where with some manufacturing client where we were present only with one service line, where we're doing only integration kind of work, for example, now we are, within the last 6 months, we are present with 5 service lines where we picked up additional cloud or data or AI or testing or other kinds of work as well, right? And that is the story that we are trying to replicate across a bunch of these top 40 clients. And like I was saying earlier, when I think Sandeep or Nikhil had asked the question, that some of this is, you know, work we started off basically 4 or 5 months ago, around February, March time frame. So we are beginning to see those wins now as we win and then we staff for it and then we start getting the revenues. We'll start seeing that impact. So the impact is usually, you know, there's a 1 to 2 quarter lag before we see that impact. But I think going back to the original intent of your question, are we mining only the top 3 or top 5 or top 10? No, we're mining a larger cross section of accounts. And we are, our basic, you know, formula or basic modus operandi of mining is, where we are present with one service offering, let's go with more than one service offering. Where we are doing some tactical work, can we take on more strategic responsibilities and be more relevant to the customer, become more core to the customer. From a perspective of, you know, where has the margin accretion come from, whether on the IT side or digital operations or knowledge services, as we used to call it earlier, kind of a perspective. Well, large part of it and what you see even on the IT side is come from our utilization improvement. We had, like I was explaining earlier, some of the challenges of projects not starting, people identified and waiting on bench, and they would just continue to extend on bench in that manner, or there were additional people essentially allocated for customer needs from time to time based on specialization required, and bunch of those things which caused for a higher number of people to be present than were exactly being utilized. And we've done you know, a fairly decent exercise thanks to some of our delivery leaders where we have put a lot of that under control. We have been able to establish basic operating processes, standard operating processes around how we are going to, you know, be ready to staff, how long we are going to wait, how we are going to follow up with customers, how we get more exact requirements in place, and all those kind of operating disciplines, which though they were there, but not maybe consistently followed, and just by improving and tightening on those, we were able to get a certain amount of improvement in that utilization, which is what has directly resulted in this margin improvement. There is obviously slight element of mix change, but it's not significant enough. I mean, we have started winning some of AI-related work, which comes at higher price point, but it is really not material enough to make a difference on our final EBITDA margins at this point. So I won't count for that, but most of it is operational levers, largely that being utilization.
And just to add, Harsh, on your question of increase in revenue and segment profit, probably you are referring to segment reporting. Yes, you are right that in knowledge services, which is mentioned as BPO, I mean, the increase of exactly the same amount as or a little less than the revenue is because there was a provision of close to 2.5 crore, which we made in the last quarter, which has been reversed. A conservative provision was made the last quarter, which got reversed. Otherwise, the margins and all that are in the proportion which are normally reported in all the services.
Got it. Just one more question. So, you talked about Microsoft Fabric. So can you speak more on that? Like, what are the traction we are seeing for Microsoft Fabric deals? And like, what percentage of deal pipeline is getting built up for Microsoft Fabric for our system? What is the opportunity size we are looking for? Broadly for Microsoft Fabric.
So Microsoft Fabric, as I said earlier, is a combination of all their data intelligence, data science, and BI related of kind of tools and technologies. We are working very closely with Microsoft, and especially in Asia Pacific. On this area where they have recognized us as a key partner and we work together with them. We have an active pipeline and I think to define it as a percentage of what our total pipeline is, I don't have those numbers handy, but just to give you a sense, you know, we are talking more than a dozen opportunities in pipe together with Microsoft where we are jointly going to the customers and providing them a proactive pitch on how they could leverage Fabric. We've already had one win in the last quarter, and in the current quarter, we're looking at another couple of wins in the same area. So, will it, you know, impact and become a significant revenue percentage itself at an overall global level, perhaps no, but for our Asia Pacific business, it will become a reasonable percentage of business. So that's a good value addition for us. And from there, we are obviously taking it globally, and we are confident that we'll start seeing the impact of the joint channel-led sales effort globally also in the quarters to come.
Just one last question. This is like not like to a comparison between Dynamics or Dynamics and Fabric, but when you're looking at Dynamics, compared to Dynamics, what is the project execution cycle for Microsoft Fabric? And are we looking at the similar margins versus Dynamics, or it is much higher than that? And just one more request. So it will be very helpful if we can provide a number of clients in our investor presentation.
When you say number of clients, as in the total number of clients that we have as a company?
Yeah, active clients.
Number of active clients.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take that request on board. I know we've had some debate around total number of active clients, given that we do different business, different as in our APAC business has a lot of clients because APAC tends to have a lot more small clients, so the number actually looks very different. But we'll definitely take that on board and see if we can start providing that. coming back to your original question, comparing to Microsoft Dynamics, so I do not know what your baseline is, but typically a Dynamics implementation is very, let's say, time bound. Usually, you know, that 3 to 6 months kind of a project. But then we are also seeing larger ones where the customers have, you know, 15 sites, 20 sites, and we're doing all sites together, and they may go on for 2 years or 3 years kind of things, right? Same way for Fabric, depending on what is the spread of the organization, how many locations, how many different business units, or different kind of data marts or data org structures we are touching, it could become, you know, it could be anything from 3 to 6 months to going over 2 years or 3 years kind of a thing. So it is honestly very dependent on the nature and size of the organization we're working with. Margin profile-wise, you know, these, for us at least, these come at our standard margins. So I'll not compare it with Dynamics or anything else. For us, this is a global business for us, and Fabric business also comes at pretty much our standard margins. It's a digital transformation business, right? So it's not, it's neither margin dilutive. I mean, there's no question of it being margin dilutive, and it's, you know, it's not heavily margin accretive either, like pure AI type of things.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Abhishek Pathak from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, my question is regarding one of our key verticals again, which is high tech. So, sir, is it fair to assume that the spends in GenAI are currently, you know, shifting towards hardware and chips, because of which we are seeing some weakness in high tech? And if so, by when do you see these spends again trickle down to, let's say, software services or product engineering? And when can we see a meaningful bump up in revenue? Because this seems like a, you know, an issue of lag rather than slowdown. And would love to sort of have your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Abhishek, thanks for joining in. Look, the spend in Gen AI, it's not a question of shifted towards hardware. I think the initial spend has all been towards hardware and some amount of POC and initial prototyping kind of thing. So productive spend on Gen AI on software has really not, so far not been out there, right? But going back to, I think the primary vein of your question is that high tech has, and especially given our business, which is heavily ISV dominated, with the core product engineering spend in high tech industry, how is it kind of coming back, and is it coming back or not kind of a thing? And look, we have seen, if we look at from a industry cut perspective, companies that were largely dependent on funding, whether from large private equities, private borrowings, or venture capitalists, they had significantly cut the spend, and that's where, you know, the overall spend in the sector kind of came down. Larger ISVs or high-tech companies who obviously have enough cash and money, they have not cut spending as such, but what they have been doing, given all the sort of uncertainty plus excessive hiring that they had done, they were using all this time to actually carry out leaning of their operations, essentially thinning out the workforce and looking at efficiencies wherever they could gain. So we have seen a lot more efficiency-related asks. Our offerings relating to, you know, product support or product management, et cetera, are some things that we have been actively taking and talking to them about, or shifting their cost base from high-cost countries to lower-cost regions, and being able to develop those development centers, et cetera, for them have been the more relevant discussions than actually investing new dollars in building new products. Now, having said that, I, you know, while I'm no no fortune teller, but with my fingers crossed, I hope that and I believe that, you know, just like earlier we were talking that people are beginning to talk about new projects and new programs, and we are seeing some of that traction. Hopefully, if the markets also go that way, then, you know, Q1 next year or around that time, we should start seeing them willing to spend in building up for the new things. With my assumption being that this year their bulk of the cost drivers would be done, then maybe they should open up. You know, I'm personally watching out this quarter and seeing if the trend continues. If we continue to see those kind of expectations or those kind of asks from us, and that will further strengthen our belief in that.
That's very helpful, sir. So, sir, just a follow-up. If you could share what would be sort of, you know, our split between the large sort of hyperscalers versus these small to mid private equity or VC-backed, ISVs, that's one. And secondly, I think it's pretty clear as to, you know, what would drive the hyperscaler sort of spend from here. But is there any sort of, you know, positive catalyst in sight for the smaller ISVs to again start spending, or will it be again subdued for a longer time?
Abhishek, I mean, I would love to be knowledgeable about it, but no. I don't have any particular insights beyond what I can gather from talking to my customers. And the feel I get is that customers who were like really dependent on funding and did not get it, unfortunately have either ended up closing shops or getting sold or bought by someone else essentially. But those who have essentially survived are those who already had revenues on the books, who had a running ARR of some sort. They survived the you know, lack of funding. They have tightened their belt. They have obviously come to a point where they can sustain their own operating cash flows and working capital, etc. So now they should be you know, in a position to spend and be able to start growing from there. And the larger ones anyway were probably never strapped for cash. They were only becoming more efficient, be more competitive, and to let go of extra fat, whatever, wherever they had gathered. And hopefully, you know, they are closing in on those cycles, so we can grow from there. The investments, going back to the original point, you know, once they generate enough room for investments, how much of it will go towards GenAI or enabling AI or AI hardware and those kinds of things versus how much will come to software? We are still talking. We are still trying to figure out. But all in all, we are still hopeful. We will get to see more software spend as it starts off.
Thank you. So that's very helpful.
Yeah, considering the, you know, we have only 5 minutes left, I would suggest that the participant, they keep the question only to one, because we have only 5 minutes. We can extend it by another 5 minutes. So let's be quick on this, please.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
The next question is from the line of Abhinav Chadak from Ratnabali Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. It is really heartening to see that as committed on your last call, finally operational efficiencies are looking like coming to place. So I just have one question to ask to both of you. What are we doing in terms of inorganic acquisition? So last time when we discussed, the hint which we got was that you are digesting Veloxio, and then probably at the right time you would look at something. Any progress on that, sir? And if you could also hint at the kind of or the size that we are looking at in terms of inorganic, if at all we are.
So short answer, you know, like we said last time, we are constantly, you know, in the lookout. We keep our eyes open. We do keep getting a lot of interesting propositions and proposals. And especially with Blackstone being, you know, the parent company, you know, we have a huge engine that kind of works towards it. So a short answer is we are constantly looking. We are open. Yes, there was a sense of that we'll digest Velocio and then move forward. I think, you know, Velocio part, I think we are mostly done. Of course, still the formal process of merger, et cetera, will take some time. But operationally, you know, we are working well together. So that part is done. So we'll continue to look for. And on the size, again, you know, we want it to be meaningful, but again, we're not stuck upon a particular size because ultimately the acquisition needs to make sense. It needs to complement our capabilities and add to our either, you know, delivery capability in a vertical or in a capability area so that we can meaningfully take advantage of it. I mean, the sum of the parts should be larger than, you know, just the mathematical sum kind of a thing. So that's why, you know, when the right opportunity comes by, we'll certainly try and grab it. But as you know, I mean, these things, they happen when they happen. We keep looking for it.
Sure. Nandji, if you could just highlight, just in case we happen to acquire, are we good enough to do it through debt or we would like to raise some equity? How do you intend to fund it? There must be some discussion around it, I'm sure, on the drawing boards. If you could just highlight, are we open to diluting equity also for a large ticket acquisition?
Abhinav, all these things are solvable. You see, all these things are options are open. I mean, with Blackstone backing, I mean, so as of now, I mean, neither we can divulge you, not we are ourselves sure how, you know, we will do it. So just wait and whatever at appropriate time we'll make announcements.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from Vinay Menon from Monarch Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. I just have a few questions. Once we've done some hiring in the BPM segment, so any reason for that? Are we looking to grow it?
Hiring in BPM segment is largely to fuel our own operations. I mean, we have been growing in BPM. We have we've added quite significant numbers over there. So hiring in BPM continues to fuel that. There hasn't been any, you know, like a senior management hiring or any significant hiring of that nature. It's all, you know, to fuel the demand, to service the demand rather.
Okay. Okay. And there has been some contribution from even India, which is mentioned in the presentation. So are we looking at, like, you know, increasing our presence here? Because we've always had a very minute presence here. So is there any plans for that?
We are open and, you know, we haven't actively gone after Indian client base, but increasingly, client captives of international clients are becoming buying centers, and we are watching that trend. And wherever some of those buying centers are, you know, big enough and buying the kind of services that we anyway sell to their parent companies, we are open to engaging in those conversations of that business. You know, India itself is becoming a big buying powerhouse for some of the very large enterprises. So we can't deny that.
So it's just a 0.1% increase, just a 0.1% increase from 1.25 to 1. It's not much. So as
yeah,
you can see,
yeah.
Answer. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And sir, any plans to give ACV, TCV? Like that's something which we've been speaking about. So.
I'll let Nandji answer that, but, you know, Vinay, the point is we have taken that on board. We are trying to, we are making sure that our internal processes are clean and lined up in a manner that we can do, you know, we can get those numbers out in time and in the right manner. But Nandji, sure. Your views.
Sure. I think, Vinay, that has been an ask. So I think probably we need another one or two quarters, so get it kind of, you know, finalized, final shape, so that aligned with other companies as well. So maybe we need another one or two quarters before we start doing that.
Okay, and one last question, sir. Has there been any dip in the billing rate this quarter? Because I think we've gone with higher utilization, so have we sacrificed a bit on the billing rate to get newer clients?
No, not so far, Vinay. But thankfully, we managed to keep our billing rates more or less secure. Depending on nature of deals and all, you know, whatever we used to do earlier, we operating within the same ranges.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. Congratulations once again.
Thank you, Vinay.
I think we need to wind up in next 5 minutes, so we need to be quick, please.
Sure. We'll take the next question from Abdul Kader from Ratnabali. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity, and congratulations on a strong set of numbers. So one of my questions have already been taken. Just, I'll ask one more question, and just pardon me if I'm repeating myself. So I just wanted to know your views on the U.S. front, like how is the demand shaping up, and you know, with the current news being that there would be recession in coming times. So like, how do you see demand shaping up in U.S., sir?
Abdul, like I said earlier, my current view from leading indicator being more customers asking for more, you know, can you do this, can you do that, or do a proposal for this, or what would this look like, et cetera. The initial discussion activities, as you would call them, is that that activity has increased, and the only lead I can take from that is that somewhere some of these customers are thinking about and planning to open up some projects as the time comes. Now, how that demand will really materialize and shape up in quarters to come, I'm optimistic, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed. We'll watch out through this quarter and then see. But like I've said earlier also, you know, the early indicators are that there should be some opening up of some kind.
Okay, fine, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. Next question is from Jagdishwar Tokte from Japa Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good to see the margin improvement. I have two questions. One is with respect to Velocio. There is an optionally convertible preference share pending acquisition amounting to 41 crore. So, when is the due date for the transaction? And related question is, how do we fund that acquisition? And will dividend payout be a constraint if we fund that acquisition? Thank you so much.
Yeah, Nandji, you want to take both these questions?
Sure. So, there is an optionally convertible preference share which we had to issue to Velocio. So that process will happen. I mean, we will be doing that. Actually, there is a merger process we have to initiate. There are some formalities we are doing, and then we will initiate the merger process. And in that merger process, we will have to issue based on the performance of Velocio, the preference share will be issued. So, but those are redeemable after another 2 years. So there are 3 year window for the, you know, shareholders of Velocio to stay in the company. So the ultimately kind of the vesting or the final will happen after another 2, because 1 year has already passed. So 2 years. So this is your first question. What is the second question?
So funding for that 241 crore.
This is a stock swap. So in pursuant to those, you know, preference shares, our system shares will be issued. So it's a stock swap. So, you know, that that will come for shareholders' approval in due course of time.
All right. Okay, got it. Thank you so much, sir. And good luck for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have two more questions. Should we go ahead, sir?
Yeah, please, quickly.
The next question is from Nikhil from Kizuna Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for giving me time again. Sir, I just wanted to ask you, like we said last quarter, that in another 2-3 quarters after S2,
we might break out of the industry trend, industry growth trend. So, sir, how much breakaway are we looking at? Like 10% more from the industry average, how much?
Nikhil, right now, as you know, you yourself have asked, the people have asked, the industry itself, the growth itself, you know, optimistic. We are all questioning, you know, how much will it grow, will it open up, and how much will it open up. But if it does open up, you know, we will certainly try to look at how we can run faster than our competition. I don't think at this point saying how much can we run faster than others will be a, you know, it's just going to be a, just a massive guesswork. So let's aim to run faster and win the race. And once we are winning, it doesn't matter, right? I think whether we win by an inch or a foot or a meter, right?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have one last question. The last question is from Sandeep Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the follow-up. Based on the discussion, the city has started pairing the green shoots. So is it fair to believe that there is a considerable or a handsome increase in the TCV closure, ACV closure, or a pipeline increase versus where we were 6 months back? And a second question, Nitesh, with the expectation on impending rate cuts in the U.S., that can trigger some of the discretionary spend with some of the telecom clients with whom we work, both on the OEM as well as service provider side, because they may be sitting on a huge amount of debt.
Sandeep, on the second part, your guess may be as good as mine. I think in general, rate cuts should improve sentiment on spending and any of these industries, especially telco operators, etc., who are sitting on high debt because of the investments they made in 5G spectrum and other things. If they can ease out or open up their wallets, I think it will certainly benefit. And whether that money comes directly to us or it goes to their tier two suppliers, who are actually software makers for them, who then outsource their work to us, even that way, you know, one way or the other, that spending opening up should reflect in better sentiments of the market. From TCV, ACV activity, from where we were 6 months back or 3 quarters ago, we're clearly seeing a higher activity. I would love to see more higher value conversions before I can feel far more confident, but clearly the activity rate has gone up.
Okay, thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Nitesh Bansal for any closing comments.
I think given it's too late, I'll just end by saying I'm thankful for everyone to participate. Your questions obviously, you know, not only help us keep us honest, but also give us insights into, you know, what all of you as investors are really looking at. So we continue to, you know, do our best to stay consistent in our reporting, bring whatever best we can bring, and we'll take all your suggestions on board and continue to work towards, you know, improving our, you know, transparency and, you know, reporting into the market. But thank you so much for attending. Look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you very much. On behalf of R Systems, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.